producing anti-atoms and anti-chemistry. At the beginning of the 20th century, physicists realized that the atom consisted of charged subatomic particles with electrons, with a negative charge, circulating around a tiny nucleus with a positive charge. The nucleus, in turn, consisted of protons, which carried the positive charge, and neutrons, which were electrically neutral. So it came as quite a shock in the 1930s when physicists realized that for every particle there is a twin, an antiparticle, but with an opposite charge. The first antiparticle to be discovered was the anti-electron, called the positron, which has a positive charge. The positron is identical to the electron in every way, except that it carries the opposite charge. It was first discovered in photographs of cosmic rays taken in a cloud chamber. Positron tracks are quite easy to see in a cloud chamber. When placed in a powerful magnetic field, they bend in the opposite direction from ordinary electrons. In fact, I photographed such antimatter tracks while I was in high school. In 1955, the particle accelerator at the University of California at Berkeley, the Bevatron, produced the first antiproton. As expected, it is identical to the proton, except that it has a negative charge. This means that, in principle, one can create anti-atoms, with positrons circulating around antiprotons. In fact, anti-elements, anti-chemistry, anti-people, anti-Earths, and even anti-universes are theoretically possible. At present, the giant particle accelerators at CERN and the Fermilab outside Chicago have been able to create minute quantities of anti-hydrogen. This is done by blasting a beam of high-energy protons into a target using particle accelerators, thereby creating a shower of subatomic debris. Powerful magnets separate out the antiprotons, which are slowed down to very low velocities and then are exposed to the antielectrons that are naturally emitted from sodium-22. When the antielectrons orbit around the antiprotons, they create antihydrogen, since hydrogen is made up of one proton and one electron. In a pure vacuum, these antiatoms might live forever. But because of impurities and collisions with the wall, these antiatoms eventually strike ordinary atoms and they are annihilated, releasing energy. In 1995, CERN made history when it announced that it had created 9 antihydrogen atoms. Fermilab soon followed suit by producing 100 atoms of antihydrogen. In principle, there is nothing to prevent us from creating higher anti-elements as well, except for the staggering cost. Producing even a few ounces of anti-atoms would bankrupt any nation. The current rate of production of antimatter is between 1 billionth to 10 billionths of a gram per year. The yield might increase by a factor of 3 by the year 2020. The economics of antimatter are very poor. In 2004, it cost CERN $20 million to produce several trillionths of a gram of antimatter. At that rate, producing a single gram of antimatter would cost $100 quadrillion, and the antimatter factory would need to run continuously for 100 billion years. This makes antimatter the most precious substance in the world. If we could assemble all the antimatter we've ever made at CERN and annihilate it with matter, reads a statement from CERN, we would have enough energy to light a single electric light bulb for a few minutes. Handling antimatter poses extraordinary problems, since any contact between matter and antimatter is explosive. Putting antimatter in an ordinary container would be suicide. When the antimatter touched the walls, it would explode. So how does one handle antimatter if it is so volatile? One way would be first to ionize the antimatter into a gas of ions, and then to safely confine it in a magnetic bottle. The magnetic field would prevent the antimatter from touching the walls of the chamber. To build an antimatter engine, a steady stream of antimatter would need to be fed into a reaction chamber, where it would be carefully combined with ordinary matter, creating a controlled explosion, similar to the explosion created by chemical rockets. The ions created by this explosion would then be shot out one end of the antimatter rocket, creating propulsion. Because of the antimatter engine's efficiency in converting matter into energy, in theory, it is one of the most appealing engine designs for future starships. In the Star Trek series, antimatter is the source of the Enterprise's energy. Its engines are energized by the controlled collision of matter and antimatter.